Good day, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Q3 2016 investor call. I would now like to turn the meeting over to Ms. Aurora Davidson. Please go ahead, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you, Marie. Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Q3 2016 investor conference call of Amerigo Resources Limited on Thursday, November the 10th, 2016. I am Aurora Davidson, the company's Executive Vice President and Chief Financial Officer. Before we begin our presentation, let me caution you that our comments and discussions will include forward-looking information within the meaning of applicable securities legislation. Such forward-looking information will include, among other things, forecasts and projections about our copper production for 2016, which involves known and unknown risks, uncertainties, and other factors that may cause the actual results, performance, or achievements to be materially different from such forecasts and projections. Therefore, although we believe that the anticipated future results, performance, or achievements expressed or implied by the forward-looking information are based on reasonable assumptions and expectations, you should not place undue reliance on such forward-looking information. You should review our press release issued on November the 9th, 2016, and our other documents filed with the securities authorities in Canada, including our annual information form under the heading Description of the Business Risk Factors. These documents describe the material factors and assumptions that were applied in drawing the conclusions and making the forecasts and projections as reflected in the forward-looking information, and the material factors that could cause our actual results, performance, or achievements to differ materially. Except as required by law, we undertake no obligation to update or revise any forward-looking information made in this presentation. I would now like to introduce the company's President and Chief Executive Officer, Rob Henderson.
Thank you, Aurora, and thank you, everyone, for joining the call. We've had an eventful quarter and have emerged in a strong position to take advantage of rising copper prices. For the third quarter of 2016, the company reported record production of 16 million pounds of copper, and we had $1.7 million of cash flow from operations. MVC restarted production of molybdenum, and they signed a three-year labor agreement with the union. The group's recorded copper price for the quarter was very low at $2.13 per pound. However, we believe that the fundamentals are in place to support an increase in the copper price. The world is seeing copper inventories declining due to continued strong demand from China, and we have future reductions in copper production from countries such as Chile, which have not invested the capital required to sustain production. Analyst consensus is that copper will return to $3 a pound, and we think this will occur sooner rather than later, and the recent activity in the copper price is encouraging. At MVC, the Cauquenes deposit is performing very well and is meeting all expectations. MVC produced 9.7 million pounds of copper from the historic Cauquenes deposit, 5.6 million pounds of copper from the fresh tailings, and 0.7 million pounds from Maricunga. The 90-day production completion test required for the bank loan is due to be successfully completed this month on schedule. And MVC is now set up to produce copper at an annual run rate of 60 to 65 million pounds of copper per year. As I mentioned, MVC commenced with production of molybdenum concentrates in August, and Q3 2016 production of moly was approximately 138,000 pounds. MVC expects to produce approximately 1.4 million pounds of moly per year. And this rate is almost double that of prior years due to the higher moly grade in Cauquenes. MVC has done a great job in reducing capital and operating costs. The Q3 2016 cash cost of $1.60 per pound was substantially lower than the Q3 2015 cash cost of $2.07 per pound. However, more work still needs to be done on reducing operating costs as payments for the Altinity royalty and the bank debt service will continue to put pressure on MBC. As we announced in our press release last month, MBC had an 8-day strike when the union voted not to renew the collective labor agreement. On October 13, 2016, negotiations between MBC and its 216-member union concluded satisfactorily, and they entered into a new 3-year collective agreement. The cost to the company for the signing bonus is estimated to be approximately $1.3 million spread over three years. Although production was affected by the strike, MBC still maintains its original 2016 production guidance of 55 to 60 million pounds of copper at an annual cash cost of $1.65 to $1.85 per pound. Negotiations on the Altinity royalty are still in progress, and we continue to believe that our royalty rate is excessive under the current low copper price environment and is not sustainable. In Q3, Altinity received $5.6 million of royalties, whilst MBC incurred a loss. These negotiations are in progress, but they may still take time to be ratified by their head office. Our key objective this year is to complete the Carquinez ramp-up program and to ensure MBC's liquidity. We've made a substantial investment into MBC, and I believe we are now well-positioned to take advantage of future increases in copper prices. I will now hand over to Aurora to discuss the Q3 financials.
Thank you, Rob. As you said, Q3 2016 was once again a quarter headed in the right direction, with stronger production as a fundamental driver behind the improved financial results posted by the company. Copper prices, however, continued at low levels during Q3. The company's quarterly average copper price was only $2.13 per pound. MBC continued with its efforts to contain and or reduce costs and was able to post a cash cost of $1.60 per pound in the quarter. However, the current level of royalties to Altinity, which in Q3 were 36 cents per pound, continues to be a source of financial stress at low copper prices. The company continued to operate in the red with narrowing losses. Amerigo posted a quarterly net loss of $2.5 million and generated cash of $1.7 million from operations in Q3. Molybdenum production restarted in August, and the operation is now profitable at current low molybdenum prices. Favorable terms were sought and obtained to operate the moly plant as efficiently as possible through a subcontractor who refurbished the plant at a cost of $1 million, which are payable over 3 years by MBC. MBC also entered into an agreement to outsource the operation of its two power generators, reducing the fixed cost component to MBC while retaining the profit margin exposure provided when the generators are operated. Relationships with our lenders continue to be positive and supportive. The company reached an important milestone with the lenders in Q3 when it funded in full a debt service reserve account with $7.5 million. In addition to the $7.5 million, the company held cash of $13.6 million for total cash and cash equivalents of $21.1 million held at September 30th. The company received $3 million in Q3 from the Altinity Copper Price Support Loan. The final $1 million from this facility was received in October, and a total of $17 million have been received to date, which are repayable by December 31st, 2019. We continue to closely and diligently monitor treasury requirements. The company's next financing repayment is in December 2016 for approximately $7.2 million of principal and interest, and the company has the necessary funds to meet that commitment. The company's impairment testing and going concern assumptions were conducted satisfactorily again in Q3 at an average 2016 copper price of $2.14 per pound, and a 2017 projected price of $2.21 per pound. Those are below the current trend of stronger copper prices. We expect that production and financial results will continue in the right direction in Q4 and we look forward to meeting again in February 2017 to report the company's first year of operations under the Cauquenes expansion. Operator, I think that those are the comments, and the floor is now open for questions and answers.
Thank you. We will now take questions from the telephone lines. If you have a question and you are using a speakerphone, please lift the handset before making your selection. Please press star 1 at this time if you have a question. There will be a brief pause while the participants register. Thank you for your patience. We have a question from Joseph Rigger from Newport Beach, California. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Good morning, everyone, and thanks for taking the questions. Couple of things. I guess the first one being kind of a balance sheet question. On your liability side, your short-term royalties to related parties seems to fluctuate a significant amount from quarter to quarter, and obviously it's impacting the overall cash flow of the company a bit. Is there an expected level exiting this year that you're targeting?
Well, one of the items one of the drivers that is affecting the short-term portion of the liability to related parties is that the fact that we have deferred payment of the portion of that royalty that is associated with Cauquenes production as an agreement to assist the company during 2016 when it was facing some cash flow constraints. That is the reason why the actual amount payable has increased from traditional levels where we only had 1 month outstanding, being the month in which we were quantifying the royalty and paying in it within the next month. Another item that affects this liability is the valuation of the derivative, because there's a derivative associated with this cash flow of royalty payments. And it does fluctuate a lot from quarter to quarter based on the discount rate that we have to use based on actuarial models. So that portion of a non-cash item is subject to some volatility, but on the real world, we have been deferring a substantial portion of those payments in 2016, and that is all disclosed in our note to related parties.
Okay, that's helpful. And then you kind of on the production side, can you guys quantify the impact from the short-term strike as far as did it impact fresh tailings at all? Did it impact just Cauquenes? How we should think about that? I know you didn't move your range, and it wasn't probably material enough to justify that, but just kind of, for our modeling purposes, the net potential impact there.
Yeah, sure, Joe. We shut the plant down for safety and security reasons. So essentially we had no production for an 8-day period.
Okay.
So for your modeling purposes, I would take that out of your model. But as I mentioned, we do expect to comfortably achieve our guidance, towards the higher end. So we were impacted, but not materially.
Okay. Fair enough. And then I know on the last call we were talking about, because of the very weak copper price, you guys were trying to you guys were trying to negotiate with Codelco a renewed royalty, to account for those lower prices. Now with copper at $2.55 today, is that still in the works? Is there still a potentiality there, or is that kind of on the back burner as long as the prices remain where they're at?
We've been in discussion with them since last December, so the discussions are still in the works. The increase in the copper price may, decrease the urgency on their side, but we would certainly like to see a completion of this discussion, which has been going on for some time now. So the discussions, the timeline hasn't changed with the increase in copper price, so we're still expecting some feedback from them this month.
Okay. I'll turn it over. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question or comment. We have a question from Stephen Otteridge from Vancouver. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Yeah, hello there. Question for you about the fresh tailings that came down when the strike was on. Did they go back into Kolwezi, or did they just continue down the chute and got lost forever?
Hi, Stephen. Yeah, that's a good question. The a portion went into Kolwezi. When the strike happened, we basically stopped the plant and shut the gates, and the tailings continued on down to Karen. But El Teniente got a bit nervous about the security of their tailings canal and put the tailings into Kolwezi for a period of about 2 days. So, you know, the answer is it's a bit of both. Some of the tailings went into Kolwezi and some went on down to Karen. The majority went on down to Karen.
Yeah. Okay. The negotiations that you're conducting with Codelco on the royalty, that happens, would that sort of be backdated like to the first of this year? Or it would be ongoing once you settle it?
That was our position. You know, it remains to be seen as to what it ends up with.
Okay. Okay. So you would be just back to the beginning of this year is what you're after.
Okay. Yeah, yeah, we did, you know, commence these discussions in December last year, and we did have some, you know, temporary relief when they suspended royalties for 4 months or delayed them for 4 months, delayed payment of them. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they are understanding of our position. However, you know, the three-way discussions between El Teniente, Codelco, and ourselves complicates matters, and so we really don't have a good understanding of where we're going to end up.
Okay. I'd like you just to elaborate on this production test required under the expansion loan. I mean, you've already got the loan, so So what does the test do? Does it just test that they're all now happy that they've given you the loan?
Correct. I mean, this is pretty normal under, you know, a project financing, is that once the project is in production, you will then revert to a cheaper financing scenario. Interest rates drop a bit once you are declared in production. And then normally that takes a test to ensure that you've met certain parameters, quality, quantity, et cetera. So we've been running this test for the last 90 days, and we believe we've met all the requirements, you know, as of like yesterday. So it's very recent completion of this test, and now we're going to be applying to the banks to benefit from a slightly lower interest rate.
Okay. Well, that's got to be good. Now, on another question for you, on the moly plant revenue, how does that get back into MVC when you've got the third party person sort of company doing the processing? $1 million, right?
Yes, the revenue is always at MVC because the concentrates of moly that are being produced still remain to be a property of MVC. MVC sells them, in this case, to MolyMet. The only change is that in instead of having a bunch of employees and managing or conducting the operations through MVC staff, we're conducting it through a subcontractor. So the impact is on the cost side. The revenue transactional phase is all under the control of MVC.
Okay, that's good. Thanks. And the other thing was that there was a significant drop in the grinding media costs. Is that being maintained?
Yes, it is, Stephen. The calcareous material is very fine, and it doesn't require a whole bunch of grinding. We're also benefiting a bit from, you know, reductions in steel prices. So it's a bit of both of quantity and volume leading towards a reduction in steel price. But we think it is sustainable.
Okay, that's good. That answers my questions. Thank you.
Thank you, Stephen.
Thank you. Once again, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad if you have a question or comment. There are no further questions registered at this time. I would like to turn back the meeting over to you, Ms. Davidson.
Thank you very much, Marie. We appreciate the participation of our investors in this call. And once again, we look forward to reporting to you annual results early next year. Thank you.
Thank you. The conference has now ended. Please disconnect your lines at this time, and we thank you for your participation.